Mr. Mason, good night.
Good night.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am keeping quiet, Mr. Mason.
Yes, good. What do you have to share with us this evening?
Well, I just call you to tell you I wish West Indies all the best.
Right.
And my thing tonight with them, I don't feel they will win the game.
You don't feel they'll win?
No, because West Indies like to play on the back foot too much.
They like to play on the back foot?
Yes.
Mm.
And they just trap.
Oh, I see.
And they got to learn to stop playing on the back foot.
On the back foot.
If you look at Mama Dula or Shaquille, look at how these men just play. What I'm saying, Mr. Mason,
right?
They're playing on the back foot too much.
They're playing on the back foot too much, yes.
So I wish them well, but I don't feel they will win the game.
You don't feel they'll win the game?
No.
Feed your faith and doubt will starve to death.
And Mr. Mason,
you write that down, sir? Feed your faith and doubt will starve to death.
Well, that is nothing to me.
Oh, all right. Well, but you know, if I could have said that in St. Lucian Park, why would have? I want to thank you for calling us and enjoy the rest of your evening. Of course, that is our friend Stansfield. We're going to take one other call before we go to our good friend Dominic, whose smile is as broad as that of the apartment that the Barbados team is staying in. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
How are you? You've got Jason Holder, you've got Dominic Warren, you've got Franklin Rose there in Jamaica, the mayor of Jamaica. And of course, you've got Wendell Coppin, who quite amazingly holds on to his job as manager of the Barbados team. You've got Phil Wallace, who snuggled away in England. And of course, Dr. Andrew Ford, who's in his study. What do you have to share with us?
I want to tell you something, Mr. Mason.
Yes. Call me Andrew. I feel so old, although I'm getting old.
Well, when I told you this thing.
Yes.
And you got my doubt, ask any person.
Yes.
You see the West Indies side that went to New Zealand?
Yes.
That side could beat North for a division side in the Seven Keys.
Okay.
You say that just played in knockout matches in Barnagash.
Yes.
Gang can beat North in comedic side.
No.
Or second 11 side.
Oh, dear me.
Keys, air keys.
Are you serious about that? That's not true. That's not true.
And you keep on using this word. Warm bay boys.
No. Big guns. Quote me correctly. Big guns.
We have no big guns in the West City side. All is average players.
Oh, dear me.
It may sound a little bit harsh.
It's harsh.
Anybody got watched for his really cricket in right. The Seven Keys and Air Keys.
Right. The team's very strong, huh?
Okay. I wish all the boys all the cricket is so poor in West City. We can't get a commentary. We can't hear, see nothing, so...
Of course, and perhaps it's a nice segue to bring in Dominic Warren now. Dominic, good evening to you. The call is saying that in relation to Bangladesh, would there be, of course, coverage on TV? And, of course, you want to talk Super 50. Nice to see you. How are you, Dominic Warren of Cricket West Indies?
Evening, everyone. Bangladesh series is being covered. Flow Sports have got it.
Right.
And they're actually sharing some highlights with us on the Windies Cricket website. But Flow Sports, I think they featured the ODIs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah, the ODIs as well as a test. So it will be viewable if you've got Flow. And if not, you can go onto the Windies Cricket website or the Windies Cricket YouTube page and watch the highlights if you don't have access to Flow.
Mm. And now in terms of the Super, the Super 50, which starts on Sunday, is Cricket West Indies up and running? Any concerns, Dominic?
Yeah, if we're not up and running now, we're all in trouble. I'm glad to see Jason's name on the list and glad to hear that the Barbados guys have arrived. It's good that you're alive and well, so that's one less thing to worry about. So, but look, we're excited. It's been an immense effort to get this off the ground. You know, Jason knows what it's been like as he travelled the world with the West Indies and doing T20 in terms of the processes that go in place for these bubbles. It's the first time in 6 or 7 months that we've had one since the CPL. The knowledge is really good. It's still down to individuals to help out, but it's going to be a really exciting CG Insurance Super 50 Cup. You've got six big rivals. You've got a brilliant mix of senior players playing in the Super 50 for the first time in a long time, and a lot of the young guns, some of whom have cemented their places in the teams who won the last Super 50 with the West Indies emerging players. You've got a lot of effort that's gone into it and a lot of support from sponsors. And it's going to be on the TV, on ESPN Caribbean, and on the radio, of course. So there's going to be radio coverage of all the games live and streamed as well. So the fact that there hasn't been cricket in the Caribbean for such a long time, we're hoping that it's going to be a wonderful festival of cricket to see everyone getting ready. What's essentially going to be, beyond these big rivalries, it's also the start of a journey that I'm sure Jason will be aware of in terms of building up to the World Cup in 2023. So, you know, that opportunity to be up for selection amongst those who want to cement a place and those who want to try and grab a place in a squad in terms of a big World Cup that's going to come in 3 years' time. And, you know, I'm sure all of the players want to take part in that because there's a lot of unfinished business for the West Indies, and we've generally excited the world when we've played in that tournament.
Mm. Doc?
Okay, well, of course, I have a question for Jason, but I'm going to go back to Dominique because I don't want to burden Jason with too many questions. But Dominique, you're rolling out a series of agreements as it relates to rights and things that are very important to the economic life of Cricket West Indies. These various things help to showcase what's happening in the Caribbean and the health of our team. How important do you think it will be in the future as you have these agreements and future agreements for the product, the West Indian teams, to perform creditably, for the viewers to have an interest to build and to make these arrangements stronger in the future?
I think fundamentally everyone wants to see great cricket. You know, and if you're into golf, people want to see great golf and want to see good football if you're into football. That's what the stations are buying and investing in. They make significant multi-million-dollar, sometimes multi-billion-dollar investments into being able to showcase the best of sport. It's pretty much the one thing now that people will sit down to watch on TV, with so much of TV going to Netflix and watching on social media. People want to see heroes. People still want to see amazing emotions, want to see that great catch or that brilliant crowd reaction. And if you look back at the test matches against England, if you look at some of the victories we've had in recent years, they are still, and even when we lose, it's still exciting cricket. You know, you can only have two winners, but you can only have one winner. So, you know, everyone knows that in sport, it's the jeopardy of sport, but people love West Indies cricket around the world. It's one of the things that we are able to get more revenue than we otherwise should, because of the history of West Indies cricket and because of the talent that's in West Indies cricket now. And I think Dr. Forgy said something about exporting and expressing the health. One of the key things we try to do, cricket's probably one of the biggest exports as a region we can take to the world. And if it's in rude health, it brings a lot in economically, but even more in terms of morale, good spirit, and just getting the people excited. When you're not winning, yeah, it's tough for everyone. But you know, everyone tries hard. These players are going out trying their best. You know, they've got not a weight of expectation, but a weight of a lot of love and excitement behind them. And when it doesn't happen, it's one of those things. Sometimes it's a millimeter on a seam, the edge of a bat. That's what sport's all about. But fundamentally, we've got a great product. People are excited. There's lots of young talent. You can see people bidding for this talent in the IPL with the likes of Sheldon Cotterill, Nicholas Pooran, Jason himself, who's done brilliantly this year in terms of the IPL. People want our players and they want the West Indies product. And it's up to everyone collectively to make the most of it and back it and give it the best chance of success. And that's what the broadcast does as a key element.
I think Jason has simplified the life cycle of cricket, because he mentioned developmental methods, he mentioned facilities and how that develops the product, and also the linkage between the product success and the money that's needed. And he mentioned the need for money in order to really catapult us to get the structures that we need to improve the players. Jason, you've been an under 19 player, and now you've been a senior player for some time. You've had almost a decade in the system. How would you describe the developmental opportunities and the facilities and everything that goes into making a cricketer over that time? Are you seeing a progression of improvement in what's needed to make an international cricketer when you look back from being a youngster till now?
It's a tough question. I think I've seen spurts of it, but consistently over my tenure, obviously, of playing international cricket, I can't say it's consistently and gradually improved. It has fluctuated, where we've had stints and periods where we're showing signs of improvement, and then for whatever reason, it stops or it curtails, and then, you know, it picks back up. And that's down to a number of reasons. You know, we've had a change in administration quite a few times, coaches. And when I say coaches along with staff. And then obviously the implementation of the franchise system was obviously rolled out in my time, moving away from the normal territorial-based tournament. So, I mean, these are things that I think take time to actually reap the rewards and benefits of. What I would say is that we are not there financially to have that financial resources around us to keep improving it, keep investing into it, to build it. However, I still think that we could have probably utilized our finances into the system a bit better. And we could be a little bit further than we possibly are at the moment. But again, when you have change in administration, you know, it comes with change in plans. And it's not often everything that was implemented by the previous administration is carried out the way it was or the same way people would have their own ways and styles of doing things. So it then brings a different dynamic. But overall, I think if we could get some stability around in terms of the actual personnel when it comes to the administrators and giving them a fair chance to implement their systems, I think then we could continuously see some gradual improvement. But again, I've played for West Indies now in the last, I started in 2012, and it's 2021, 9 years now. And I've seen quite a few coaches. You know, I've had, you know, we sit down often in a dressing room and we remark on how many coaches have been through the system since I've been there. And now we've seen different directive cricket. You know, we've seen changes within the franchise structures on numerous occasions. So it's never really been that stability and consistency. And every single time someone new comes in, you know, they have their own way of doing things. But what I've seen here now in terms of the franchise system, I think is a very, very good initiative. But we just need to continue to have a hold on it, invest in it. Hopefully some of the franchises to go and seek their own financial support to help build their personal franchise in order for the entire package to benefit and grow.
Well, it may be an indelicate question. I'm willing to withdraw it if you see that as being necessary. But I'll ask you a question with all that experience. Can you tell us which coaches have challenged and you feel have made the biggest impact on the development of the international squads that you've been in over the time that you've been exposed to it?
Look, I try to think of the best way to answer this question. we've had a few coaches, as I said before. And every coach will have their own way of doing things. Some players will say that they like X coach. You know, some players may say that they like Y coach better than X. And you can't get away from that personal opinion. You know, people gravitate towards people who they feel comfortable with. And I think if you ask individual players, you know, they will have their preferences in terms of, you know, which coaches they liked and which coach they had, you know, better relationships with. Again, over a period of time, I always ask people, how do they gauge and judge coaches? You know, and I think the way we look at things in the Caribbean and in the world, we look at results. So I guess the only fair way to judge a cricketer is based on his performances. If you're judged as a doctor, I mean, you're judged on your track record. You know, people are judged on their track record and their performance. So, I mean, if that's the way that everybody's critiqued and examined, then I guess the coaches would have to go through the same process. So, mm-hmm. in terms of track record, I'm not sure the exact track record of each individual coach's coach in my tenure, but I would say that's a fair gauge to see who's had success and who's done a reasonable job in the post.
Just as a follow-up question to you, Jason, and you did it very well. I'm sure that Mayor Maltley may be asking you to run in the next election. You answered that. You're absolutely brilliant in terms of answering the question. Oh, my golly. He's a big gun, isn't he? I just want to ask the question, Jason. Do you have a good relationship with CWI? Is that a reasonable question?
Yeah,
You hesitated slightly.
No, I'm really to think about things. Okay, you ask me a question and you want to tell me when to answer it and how to answer it. Well.
My apologies. I withdraw. Yes, but you've got to.
You're my friend, Andrew. Man, yeah, I think you treat me a little better than you're trying to treat me at the moment.
Sorry about that. But, yes, talk to me.
Yeah, look, I get along with everyone. Mm-hmm. My thing is, I'm a fan first. You know, yeah. I'm mm-hmm. obviously a player, but I'm a fan first. And look, if I had to sit down and say I'm happy with the performances of West Indies cricket over the last couple of years, I sad to say it was good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be crazy. You know, we have not been good enough. We have not been good enough consistently. What I would say though is when you look at, for instance, the Test team. Mm-hmm. And the Test team I thought was heading in the right direction, and we were showing really good signs of progression. You know, I was really disappointed in New Zealand. I think this New Zealand was a very, very disappointing tour, and I was really, really frustrated and disappointed after that performance, because the last time we went to New Zealand, we were totally outplayed, and we pretty much took the same guys there, and again we were totally outplayed again, and I felt. When you have a 3-year break in between two series in one place, you know, we should have done a lot better in New Zealand. There's no excuse for the performance that we put out in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Now, we could sit back and critique it and try to pinpoint ways or reasons for the performance. Mm-hmm. And again, everybody have their different opinions. Going back to your question, because I kind of drifted into that, sure. I think my contribution to West Indies career, I still think I have a massive contribution to make. But I feel as though it becomes a lot more difficult when we put in performances like that. You know, I'm obviously the captain of the side, or the Test side, that is. And, you know, you're under the microscope and you're criticized for the performance of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, I could stand up and be accountable for it. You know, it doesn't move me. Yourself, tons of people have always made their remarks. You know, I heard you had Andy Roberts on the program.
Oh, Andy Roberts was scathing last week. I'm sure someone told you. Did you see the article?
Yeah.
It was all over the papers.
I don't follow Andrew, to be honest. But, okay. You know, people will come and say, will come to me and say, well, you know, X, Y, Z. But look, my disappointment with people like Andy Roberts, and I respect them for what they've contributed to the game. But I mean, as former players who've done so well, and I don't know. I'm sure that they all have positive contributions to make to West Indies cricket. But why go on these platforms, these platforms, and constantly criticize and degrade the product of West Indies cricket? You know, I feel as though a lot of the time when you have the former legends comment on West Indies cricket, 99% of the time is negative. And then when it is an opportunity for them to give encouragement or to actually congratulate players, it is almost like they're trying to pick the teeth to find the words to say. It's like it's a hard thing to do. And I think as a society in the Caribbean, we find it so easy to criticize people. We always know the problem, but when you ask for the solutions, It is mind-boggling, you know. And now people often struggle to find the solutions. Now, everybody is entitled to their opinion, as I always say. And the legends who play the game, again, I respect every single one of them and their contribution. But I think they could do a lot more into opening up that relationship with players. Now, from where you sit, lots of players frowned upon speaking to the legends, because a lot of them talk and criticize them so much that they're not even approachable. So you would often say, well, we want X to be a part of West Indies cricket because he's had success in the past. But then when you ask about our personal relationship, our interpersonal relationship between the player and the legend, it is far in between. I mean, we sit down, we're criticized daily. And we know we haven't been the greatest side. We know we haven't been
playing the greatest cricket. Hey, look at you stepping out in the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know we haven't been playing the best cricket. But for me, it would warm my heart to sit and have a conversation with Andy Roberts. And I'd be quite open to have the conversation with Andy Roberts. But it's always a situation where you sit back and you read an article. Somebody sends you a tweet. Somebody sends you an extract from a radio program, and often is always being critical towards the current crop. So I would prefer, well, Andy, you're entitled to say what you want to say, and you have all rights. But pick up the phone, you know, get in contact, offer that support, and I could say that for a number of other past players who played the game. And again, I take nothing away from what they've achieved. They're all brilliant players. They've got the record to prove it. You know, and their contributions to West Indies have been outstanding. But I think they need to do a lot better in terms of trying to build the relationship with current players. And I think they've got a lot to contribute to West Indies cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I don't know why is always a standoff between the past players and the current players. But I know, for instance, when they talk to players currently, they don't want to see half of the legends because they're so critical of them. Oh, and then there's a case where when we see them, it's not a case where a lot of them are approachable and you reach out to them.
Oh, that's a very interesting comment.
I saw Philo had something to ask, so I don't know if Philo.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Sir Andy Roberts. We speak daily.
Daily?
I don't think he's criticizing the players. Yeah, we speak daily. He calls me every day, Andrew. That's what daily means.
Yeah.
I don't think he criticizes the players.
Well,
Sir Andy is so passionate about West Indies cricket. I must offer a belated birthday greetings to him as well.
Yes.
He turned 70 this week. I think that he will reach out, seeing that you are there in Antigua. I made a suggestion to Cricket West Indies. Maybe it came a little late. That seeing that the six franchises are in Antigua for this Super 50 Cup, that they should have reached out to six former greats in Antigua and have them assigned to each franchise.
Mm.
And I was told it's too late because of protocols, but there's something called Zoom.
Yes.
And maybe you could get the interaction to Zoom if they can't get into the bubble now.
Okay.
And these are things that we need to work on, seeing that the players are so withdrawn from our greats because they see the greats as criticizing. I think the players need to embrace, to talk to the greats and get to understand why they're so aggressive towards performances. I think they're accustomed to seeing West Indies cricket of such a high standard. That to see the present crop before the talent not producing, it hurts.
Mm.
And I think that Sir Andy is hurt because of what he's seeing and what he has put in and contributed to West Indies cricket. So I don't really think it's criticism. I just think he's just too passionate.
He's passionate.
And want to see West Indies cricket rise again. Yeah, and he wants to get involved. And I think that you should reach out to him.
Right.
And he will speak to you. He's that kind of man. He will speak to you and he will tell you.
Well, Philo, you speak to him daily. Can you arrange to have Sir Andy Roberts? He doesn't call me daily. Maybe he will call me weekly. But can you arrange to have Sir Andy Roberts speak to our captain, Jason Holder? You got that influence, Philo. You're a big gun. Can you arrange it?
No, I'm no big gun, Andrew. I don't like guns. I think that we're all for the development of West Indies cricket.
Right.
And I think that when we look at West Indies cricket, our former greats have a contribution
role
to make.
Right.
And I think that the bridge, they have to mend that bridge because there's certainly a gap in it. And they need to mend that bridge somehow, somewhere. And right now in Antigua, I think that is where they can start to look to mend that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're talking about a dialogue deficit where all the greats want to make a contribution to cricket. The present players are involved and also want to be heard, and I believe should be dialogued with the board as far as various changes are concerned. For example, 10 players opting out of the tour. I think if there was good dialogue, I think the board would have known and would have been able to adjust and pivot for this tour better. But maybe there's a time for a get-together of the present and the past cricketers in one big forum that you guys could have wide-ranging discussions about West Indies cricket over a period of time. I think that's something that's really necessary, that You get everybody together. It could be on Zoom. It could be on any other forum. But I'm sure Franklin would like to be involved in it, and all the others and all the present players. You can break the ice, and maybe the each side could understand the pressures of being where the present ones are versus where the past ones are. Maybe journalists. Even journalists, because journalists are critics of cricket as it is now, and reflective of the nostalgic days of the past. So I think the group has to get together, and a time has to come when Cricket West Indies is at home for a tour, and there's a team that's visiting, and our journalists and everyone starts to put pressure on the visitors and do that, rather than we always need to put pressure on ourselves.
Right. Okay. Let's get a reaction quickly from Franklin Rose. And of course, I know that Dominic Warren has been making notes. He's going to be speaking to Ricky Skerritt, and of course to Johnny Grave, his boss. He's made some very important notes. So let's hear from Franklin Rose, the Jamaican, and then of course we're going to come to Dominic Warren. Frankie.